From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. So an FBI investigation into Judge Brett Kavanaugh's background has been underway since Friday. It was set in motion, as you probably know, by Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, leveraging his committee vote after last Thursday's testimony by Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and the Supreme Court nominee Judge Kavanaugh. From 60 Minutes last night to Saturday Night Live the night before, from the weekend news shows, even to Governor Brown's copying of a bill signing letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee, this nomination process has gripped the attention of people across the country and beyond. So let's bring in the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken. As we, continue our conversation that is not ending from last week.
No, and it may not end after this week either, because even if there is a scheduled vote on Friday, which is what the Republicans want and the Democrats fear, we don't know what the FBI investigation will tell, and we don't know if the American people will buy it.
Ken, do you think the question of whether Brett Kavanaugh lied under oath has now moved into the top priority of his entire confirmation process?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, you know, I know that the Republicans and Judge Kavanaugh himself were mocking the fact that, well, I didn't know my calendar was on trial. I didn't know my drinking was on trial. But in a sense, it was because he said some things during his testimony last Thursday. I can't believe it was only last Thursday, about his drinking habits, you know, at Georgetown Prep and then again at Yale. And a bunch of people have since come forward and said that it is absolutely not true. We have seen Brett Kavanaugh either pass out or drink to excess or be belligerent after drinking. And while that, you know, ultimately, you know, when we started this whole process, we thought it would be about his judicial temperament and his judicial record, whether he's too conservative for Democrats, whether he would be, you know, he would roll back women's rights and reproductive freedoms, which is what many feminist groups were complaining about. Now it has almost all to do about his veracity.
You haven't said the phrase sexual assault allegations. And that's why the hearing happened last Thursday. I don't know if we're ever going to get to a definitive answer on that, but the FBI is going to give us information. How much information remains to be seen? And then what? So much is being said about the FBI not passing judgment. So we get a report. What extent might that report be? And then what happens?
Well, see, I think you asked five questions in that one question, or at least you raised five questions, because that's what a lot of Democrats are saying. Remember last Thursday, the Democrats were attacking the Republicans. How could you push this nomination through without an FBI investigation in the light of the accusations by Christine Blasey Ford and others, but mostly Dr. Ford, who said that that he sexually assaulted her at a party, you know, some 30 years ago. Now, so that's what the investigation is all about. But of course, the questions are just, you know, the FBI is, first of all, the Democrats kept saying, we have to have an investigation. Until Jeff Flake came forward, there wasn't going to be one. Jeff Flake said, I can't vote yes on this nomination until we get one. Mitch McConnell and the Republicans in the White House relented reluctantly. But now here's the question that you're asking. What if the FBI doesn't reveal anything? What if what the FBI finds out just doesn't corroborate anybody? Or again, it goes back to, you know, as the Republicans would like to call it, he said, she said. And if that's the case, then what Jeff Flake basically has done has given some Republicans the cover, notably Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, the cover to vote for the nomination if the FBI investigation doesn't prove anything. So we don't know what they're going to find. We don't know how limited in scope this investigation is going to be. And I guess, you know, if conventional wisdom suggests that not much changes, of course, the FBI could come up with something that will shock us all. But if it doesn't and nothing changes, then the Democrats, you know, then President Trump is almost right in a way when he says that, well, the Democrats demanded an FBI investigation. They're getting it and they're still not happy. I mean, nothing will ever satisfy them. But the Democrats will say, well, that's not true because we expected a real investigation, not one that will be perfunctory in scope and limited into whom they can interview.
Ken, you and I exchanged some messages over the weekend about this. I asked whether you had seen a tweet by Dan Rather, the former CBS newsman. And he wrote, "By limiting the scope of the FBI investigation on Kavanaugh, the White House is daring the press to shed more light on what's lurking in the shadows. I expect my colleagues will not disappoint. Hold on to your hats." So the FBI might be investigating, but there is another voice out there, and that is the media. And the question is, to what extent might more information flood the platforms of communication in our world so that we aren't, and we being lawmakers, Congress, senators, we aren't only learning from the FBI.
Well, it's a fair point, but of course, what the media comes up with may just be either allegations or uncorroborated findings. I mean, the fact is that the FBI is not going to interview Julie Swetnick, one of the three women who have accused Judge Kavanaugh of sexual assault. And she said that he was there when
right.
gang
and do
rapes
you,
were.
Why do you think that they are not? Do you think it's the Michael Avenatti question and issue?
Well, all I know is that what I've heard from Lindsey Graham and others who said that, no, the FBI will not investigate her. And they may you may be right. They may not find her credible because of Michael Avenatti, although I think
who
almost everybody seems
right.
to agree that that Stormy Daniels is far more persuasive at telling the truth than President Trump in that whole thing. But the point is that, it's just the media can come up with all the things they want. They also know that they have 4 days to do whatever they can do before Friday's vote. And so, Mitch McConnell and the White House was almost demanding a vote last Friday, even before the agreement to have an FBI investigation. So I'm not, it sounds like a judgment here, but it sounds like the Republicans want a vote no matter what. And so they were willing to have it last Friday. Their bluff was called by Jeff Flake, but now it could be the Democrats' bluff that gets called because there'll be an FBI investigation, whether it's a real one or not. That's not the point. Mitch McConnell can say, okay, everybody was heard, and now we vote on Friday. So what Dan Rather and other journalists are saying, that we are still investigating this. Matter of fact, Jerry Nadler, the ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, said if the Democrats win the House in November and Judge Kavanaugh is elevated to the Supreme Court, and assuming the Republican Senate is not going to act, the Democrats will still continue their investigation into Judge Kavanaugh and the allegations of perjury.
I want to tell you, I was monitoring right before we started talking, Ken, a press conference that President Trump was holding. It was in relation to NAFTA and trade and China. And he called on a reporter. He called on a woman reporter. I didn't see who it was. I was listening. And he called on her and she said, "Oh, hang on." And he said, "Oh, you're surprised that I called on you." I'm paraphrasing. I didn't write down word for word. But this part I do know. She stood up and she said, "Oh, hang on. I wasn't thinking." And he said, "You never do." And she said,
"No.
Excuse me?" And then she went on to ask about the Kavanaugh hearing, and he said, "Why don't you ask me about trade? We're here for a trade press conference." And she said, "Because Kavanaugh is the other headline in the news." And he said, "I'll get back to that." Now, that's going to make news, that exchange, and I have not been able to hear what he commented on later with regard to the Kavanaugh hearing. But every word, every sentence that's being uttered right now between these key senators and the president is going to be watched closely while we're in sort of this in-between time with this investigation.
Well, that's absolutely true. And remember, there are two audiences who are watching all of this. The audience, the first audience, is the small group of Republican senators who have still not committed to how they're going to vote, and that's Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. Murkowski joined Jeff Flake in demanding the FBI investigation. We'll see if she's satisfied with it. But if two Republicans vote no and every Democrat votes no, then Kavanaugh is defeated. So there is tremendous pressure on Collins and Murkowski and Jeff Flake as well to see if he gets the kind of the FBI investigation he wants. We will be watching them. I mean, even Dean Heller, who apparently is going to vote for the nomination. He's in a tough, you know, the Nevada Republican is in a tough fight for re-election this year. He's running against a female opponent, Democratic opponent, Jackie Rosen. And it's the only state that a Republican senator is running for re-election in that was carried by Hillary Clinton. So Dean Heller has things to worry about as well. But the second audience is really female voters in November. And so the what a lot of people have been suggesting is that the Republicans, in their desperate desire to get Judge Kavanaugh confirmed and keep the Senate Republicans, they're losing the House. They're going to be losing the House to the Democrats because of these kind of attacks, or at least this kind of behavior and treatment of not only Dr. Blasey Ford, but other women of victims of sexual assault.
Can our producers tell me that President Trump just said he wants the FBI investigation to be, quote, thorough and comprehensive? So, again, to what
extent? We're getting mixed. Yes. And so did Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Kellyanne Conway. They say this will be a comprehensive investigation, but there are other indications. Now, I don't know if this is Democratic sour grapes or reality, but they're saying that the FBI investigation is really limited in scope. I can't imagine the FBI allowing itself to be used as a political pawn. So my gut tells me that they will investigate as thoroughly as they can, go wherever leads take them, and follow up. But as long as it
finishes by Friday, right?
Exactly. I mean, even I know you're going to be talking about hearings of the past later in the program, but there was no limit to what the FBI investigation was in the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill hearing, although it happened to be 4 days. But this one had a limit from the beginning.
Kellyanne Conway admitting over the weekend that she had been a victim of sexual assault. And it's one thing to hear that, but to watch her as she made the decision to say those words, I thought was another powerful moment in the story.
It didn't do it for me. And I'll tell you why it didn't do it for me. It seemed to me that saying that just because a woman is sexually assaulted doesn't mean you shouldn't believe Judge Kavanaugh. So I'm not belittling what happened to Kellyanne Conway. I know this has happened to scores, countless numbers of women, especially women who didn't come forward. Now, here's a good question for Kellyanne Conway. Did she come forward? Did she contact the FBI? Did she go to the authorities? We don't know that. But all the people who were faulting Dr. Blasey Ford for come forward back in 1982, well, she was scared, she was frightened, she was humiliated, and she didn't feel anybody would hear her. So it's one thing. Sure, it's, you know, Kellyanne Conway was sexually assaulted as well, as so many women have. But this doesn't answer the real question about what Judge Kavanaugh is being accused of should be enough to disqualify him.
I understand what you're saying. I completely understand the context you're saying it in, Ken. I also know that there is a moment in any person, any woman's life, when you decide whether you're playing it as a card or not, whether you're using it as strategy or not, whether you decide to say something publicly about it or not. So
I am not going to question anybody's decision
sure.
to come forward
yeah.
or not come forward.
Right.
I'm just saying that just because she was sexually assaulted doesn't mean that the allegations against Judge Kavanaugh aren't legitimate.
I'm talking with the political junkie Ken Rudin. I already mentioned that Governor Brown copied the Senate Judiciary Committee on the signing of an important bill, SB 826, that talks about the minimum of one woman on its board of directors by 2019 and then two women by 2021. But Ken, I'm going to steer us back to California Senator Dianne Feinstein. The Insight staff pulled two pieces of sound last week that we didn't get to, and I really want to get to them. So we're going to hear a little bit of Senator Feinstein talking with, first of all, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and then Brett Kavanaugh at the hearings last week. So here is the exchange with Dr. Ford.
You are very clear about the attack being pushed into the room. You say you don't know quite by whom. But that it was Brett Kavanaugh that covered your mouth to prevent you from screaming, and then you escaped. How are you so sure that it was he?
The same way that I'm sure that I'm talking to you right now. It's just basic memory functions. Also just the level of norepinephrine and epinephrine in the brain that sort of, as you know, encodes that neurotransmitter, encodes memories into the hippocampus. And so the trauma-related experience then is kind of locked there, whereas other details kind of drift.
So what you are telling us is this could not be a case of mistaken identity.
Absolutely not.
That was an important and powerful point in Dr. Ford's testimony. Now let's listen to, again, Senator Feinstein in an important and powerful moment with Judge Brett Kavanaugh.
If you're very confident of your position, and you appear to be, why aren't you also asking the FBI to investigate these claims?
Senator, I'll do whatever the committee wants. I wanted a hearing the day after the allegation came up. I wanted to be here that day. Instead, 10 days passed where all this nonsense is coming out. You know, that I'm in gangs, I'm on boats in Rhode Island, I'm in Colorado, you know, I'm cited all over the place. And these things are printed and run breathlessly by cable news. You know, I wanted a hearing the next day. My family's been destroyed by this, Senator.
So Ken, the California senators played a key role in this, but also the sentences, the words, the statements that came out in this hearing, I think they're going to be analyzed and carried forward throughout American history. It was such a powerful day. I feel like I'm still processing it, actually.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think the regret here is that when it all comes down to it, it becomes a partisan vote. The Democrats don't believe him. The Republicans do believe him. We saw an 11-10 vote on the Judiciary Committee because the Republicans believed him. The Democrats didn't. I thought Blasey Ford, Dr. Ford's testimony was amazingly riveting and personal and vulnerable. And I mean, she was so frightened. And you asked her, as Klobuchar did and Feinstein did, are you 100%, how certain are you that it was Brett Kavanaugh? And she said 100%. And then the Republicans asked Brett Kavanaugh, how certain are you that you didn't do this? And he said 100%. So ultimately, assuming, or I hope not to assume this, but assuming the FBI investigation doesn't show much different than what we already know, and despite, as you say, Beth, the emotional journey that this hearing has taken the whole American people, and I agree with you, it'll go on for far beyond the Kavanaugh confirmation vote. Ultimately, it becomes a partisan vote, and that is heartbreaking because it still doesn't answer the question, and it still doesn't address women like Blasey Ford, who came forward with tremendous risk to themselves and under terrible fear of her safety and her security and a media bombardment. And ultimately, if Kavanaugh gets confirmed, what did we learn? What did we get from it? We had another conversation as we had in Hill Thomas, but ultimately nothing changed. And that is the most heartbreaking thing of all.
All right, Ken, we'll continue this conversation unless something happens next Monday. And thanks again for your time and your thoughts.
Okay, thank you, Beth.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. He joins us almost every week. In our next segment, as Ken alluded to, I'm going to talk with McGeorge Law School professor John Sims about past controversial Supreme Court nominees. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.